I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Migs Cast, and I am Steve Migs, and I am here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello!
And Glenn Cannon.
What's up?
It's good to see you. We're all alive.
Yeah.
Survived Sunday.
Survived Sunday. A little pre-show banter as usual.
Yep.
We'll have to start airing all the pre-shows at some point.
We should do like a Patreon where you have to pay extra to hear...
Pay extra
from the free, so you have to do double the price of what you're paying right now.
These supplemental content. Yeah.
Right? Like you have to subscribe for $5 a month. You get to hear all the awful and disgusting crap that we talk about before the mics get turned on.
That's right. It's mostly just us getting all the F-bombs. Yeah. Justin sits over there and just swears up a storm.
Like, yeah, oh yeah, me all the time.
I'm usually
listening to you two carousing. I love it.
Dude, that'd be hilarious. Like, hey, how'd you guys make your fortune? Well, now we do a special add-on to our podcast where we charge $5 a listener, and oddly enough, 10,000 people are paying for it.
Yeah. It's 5 minutes of everyone saying every word you can't say on radio.
That's the content they want, or us discussing things we don't want to discuss openly on the cast.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about this, but we'll talk about it on our other one.
Right. Steve's like, hey, Glenn, did those general sores clear up? Dude, they did. Thanks for that wart cream. You know, it's the stuff we don't want fans to eat.
We make an extra $50,000 a month just because we're saying freely... Fudge and sugar.
That's right.
Fudge and sugar.
Yes.
Thank you for self-editing there.
And country.
Oh, you can make
old men.
That would make me twitch. Did you see me? I looked over like, did he just do?
That is one of the most dangerous words, I swear to God, country? In our business, country. Mm-hmm. Because especially with what we do, there's been plenty of times where you'll be saying that word as in like country artists.
And you're diving for the dump button.
But no, somebody else like interrupts you in the middle of it and stops your train of thought.
I'll never forget playing back in the day.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
This is one of my favorite moments where I thought I might get in trouble with my job and my bosses when I worked. I think it was at K-Rock or at the end. And we were playing, at the time it was called Beat the Producer. Mm-hmm. And it was a question. The question was something as simple as, who is Carrie Underwood at the early parts of her career? And I was like, oh, she's some, you know, and I was going to say country artist. And I said, oh, she's some country, but... I put the pregnant pause before the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just basically sounded like my response to who is Carrie Underwood.
Which may or may not be accurate. I've never met her. You know, but you don't know. We talked to one of her drivers, and guess what?
True.
And my aunt said, oh, she's some see you next Tuesday.
It turns out she totally is a country artist.
And, of course, Andy Savage is just giggling.
Right?
Steve's over there pouring sweat.
And I'm like, hit that dump button. I'm like, he's not going to hit the dump button. He loved when curses slipped on the air, which I thought was really funny.
Well, but Savage was pre-Janet Jackson's boobie.
Yes. Because
it seems to me when Janet Jackson's boobie came out,
a lot changed.
The hammer dropped. Because I can remember even hearing Jeremy from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear it wasn't edited. Tool's prison sex wasn't edited.
Heaven beside you. You know the part where that's effed up.
Yeah.
Like, if it was edited, it was poorly edited.
It was really badly edited for a really long time.
I mean, I'd hear the occasional slip, and I'd be like, huh.
All right.
You know what I mean? And because especially, and he says it quick in Jeremy.
Seems a harmless little fudge pecker.
Little fluck.
I thought it was fun. Like, it was a harmless little fun.
Oh, he's a harmless
little making
fun.
Making fun of him. Like, oh, it's harmless little fun, making fun of the guy. So it never registered for me.
How much did it suck to be a high school student named Jeremy in the early 90s?
Oh, God.
I don't know. Maybe he got lots of trim out of it. You don't know.
Oh, that's true. I mean, ladies
don't
are
kill
like,
me. Hey, look, I'll have sex
it's a
with
harmless
you.
Little fun. Come to prom with me or I'll speak in class today. You picking up what I'm throwing down?
Listen, I'm going to bite that recess lady's breast.
Yeah.
And you won't forget it.
It's more of a 49 Shades of Grey thing, man, because the recess lady's hella hot. Yeah,
that's hot.
Yeah. Jesus. 49 Shades of Teal.
Yeah. But boy, oh boy, we had a great time over at Studio 7 for the Save the 7 show. So many
amazing.
Great bands. My mind was blown by some bands that I hadn't seen before. There was Philip Kennedy.
Phil Kennedy was amazing. Yeah,
he crushed it. His cover, which was a very Chris Cornell inspired cover of the Sinead O'Connor cover of the Prince song, Nothing Compares to You.
Cover
of a cover of a cover. Killed it, man. Yep. It was like I felt the emotion, which was really cool. Got to meet his wife, sweetheart. It
She's awesome.
Great
his daughters
people.
Down there are just amazing. Yeah, dude. It's
so
it's
awesome.
Always cool. Yeah.
That guy's got great pipes, great singer.
Mm-hmm.
Did some Audio Slaves, did some Stone Temple Pilots as well. Great way to start off the night. Or the day.
Yeah.
Start at like 3:30.
Started at 3 o'clock, man. And I know Phil had raged hard for Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
And it's kind of hilarious. I can show you guys.
Yeah, what was the crowd like for a post-Cinco de Mayo party?
Dude, honestly.
It started slow, like as far as energy.
Yeah.
Well, and I was, you know, I didn't know how all that was going to unfold, but I was kind of stoked. I think for Phil's set at 3, there was maybe 40, 50 people in there.
And people were...
And I was kind of like...
they were invested
you know,
in his singing,
nice.
Which was cool.
Yeah, it was
great.
It was really cool, man.
And, the energy amped up when people started using the... Oh, yes, I saw that picture.
This
he showed that
Phil
to me.
This was Phil at about 2 o'clock that day.
I believe his wife showed me that picture, which I thought was hilarious. He just...
eyes are almost open.
Yeah, my boy Phil Kennedy rallied hard, came down and put on one hell of a set.
He did.
Which was amazing, because I know an hour beforehand he was completely buckled.
And shout out to Lion Pride Music and the Lion Pride Party Bus, Levi and Rich and Cortland and the rest of the crew.
Kept that party go.
Man, they were shuttling people.
Beyond awesome.
As the night kept going, that bus got more and more packed. I mean, people were going to the Siren Tavern all day. Like I was part of the first group that first went to the Siren Tavern, which I've never been to before.
It's a great little place.
What an awesome spot.
Yep.
Yeah, myself and Tony from Windowpane, we had a shot to start the day off.
Nice.
Let's get the edge off. The lady working there was fantastic.
Oh, I hope so. She probably made a fortune that day.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny. I was on probably the second bus ride over. I snapped a photo and it was packed.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
And we got over there and I was talking with my buddy Charlie Lorme that plays drums in the Aussie Tribute.
Yes.
The very Aussie Tribute. And,
great drummer.
Yeah, amazing drummer, right? And good. I've known him for a long time, old friends. And we're just in there chatting and he's like, man, you think they would have staffed more than one bartender today? Because that girl she was running around like mad. And I was like, dude, I've been by here 3 different times.
We told her.
Literally like, here's my name. Here's my phone number. This is what is happening. This is when it will start. And there will be shuttles every 20 minutes. So you're going to want to. They must have thought, you know, some weirdo came in today and said he was going to bring a bus.
It's just like some homeless guy just like yelling at me. Yeah. I half listened. And then he wrote down instructions on a napkin. And I was like, okay.
It's like a make 'em up. I don't know what this guy's talking about.
Yeah. And I just wonder, when she started seeing 30, 40 people walk in at the time, she's like, oh my God.
Should have listened to that son of a bitch.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
So the energy level kept getting more and more amped as the day went on, which was cool.
That.
Man, Casualty of God.
Killer band.
What a great band.
Killer band, yeah.
Heavy as all hell. The rhythm section, I mean, selfishly, I'm a big fan of Jeff Eason, who filled in on bass with Bruiser Brody, which did a great job. But man, oh man, him and, is it Dylan?
Dylan, yeah.
The drummer.
The drummer.
The two of them together are just magic.
Amazing.
Nice. Yep.
Amazing, man.
I think a few times, I think Dylan might have thought I was undressing him with my eyes because I was just staring at him.
No, he can play, man.
And I'm watching him. I'm like, what are you, how, what? You did okay. You just did that too. That was incredible.
Yeah, he's a great drummer. Sweet guy. Actually, all those guys are amazing players.
Great,
really
vocalist,
cool people.
Great guitars.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, really cool band. Mm-hmm. I for some reason they've been a band I've never got to see live. So I was thoroughly impressed.
And I think they're growing things. I know they've shot up and down the coast a couple times, and you know locally, the last time I saw them, they were at the Skylark over in West Seattle. So I think they're still growing the band and the brand and the name. They haven't gotten out to a lot of bigger venues yet, but killer band. No. Really cool project.
I know a few people ask me this question, and if it's an uncomfortable question, I apologize, but I have to ask because the people that are there were asking me, and I didn't know, with the singer, he had an oxygen tank?
Yeah, I think.
Do you know the backstory behind that?
I don't know the backstory completely. I know Dylan and Kristen Casper from Windowpane go way back. And actually, we had gotten to jam with Dylan at one point, which was really fun. But I think, and I didn't ask, I saw a post went up where, and I cannot remember the singer's name, but I think he was hospitalized briefly.
Oh.
And I don't know what happened, but something bad happened. And it was really an extreme situation where I think he almost lost his life. and obviously didn't.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, you know, rally love and support behind my boy, and, you know, and we kind of, I don't usually ask. If someone wants to tell me what's going on, great.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm like, ooh, sorry to hear that. And actually, I thought it was the guitar player, not the singer. So I could be even wronger still. That's correct grammar.
More wrong. On the Mixcast, they're wrongest.
I could be wronger still. I've been studying
English is gooder.
The Trump Grammar for Dummies book came out last month, and I've been reading that.
Very Appalachian.
And
of you
it's the best book. He gives the best book, but I'm sorry, but no,
it's the goodest book.
He was up there singing his ass off.
Yeah,
on Oxygen.
Yeah,
and at first I was like, I wonder if that's a stage prop.
Wow,
but I don't think it was, bro. I think he was on Oxygen and was up there singing like the devil, and that was actually pretty inspiring and cool to see.
That's what I was going to say. In a weird, not weird, but in a different way, it added to the aura of that band, because they're just like, they're very Tool-like and just ominous.
Oh, nice.
Very tribal. And then it opens up. It's kind of like Tool, Alice in Chains type big chorus, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
And there's just something dark about a lead singer who's attached to an oxygen tank. And I know that it wasn't show, but you know, obviously we're watching, and I'm just like, there's something really powerful about watching this guy just belt and have incredible pipes. And obviously there's something going on
medically,
that.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I was pretty blown away by that, because I know if it's me and be like, guys, look, I'm on oxygen. I can't be singing.
Especially in a hot room like that.
Oh, dude,
right?
you know, it's a big club. There's no AC in that place. It was warm in there. And he got up and destroyed it.
Killed it.
Mad respect. And I thought, like you said, it was really a man. Wow.
Like, obviously,
that is cool.
I'm sure he and everyone would agree that, like, it would be nicer to not have to use that. But for some weird way with the music, it just added to this aura of this band.
What was the name of the band again?
Casualty of God.
Cool. I'm
Casualty of God. They're really cool, man.
Heavy as that.
And you know, another thing to consider too is here's a group of guys that agreed to come do this Sunday benefit for free.
Yep.
And homeboy's like, yep, we're there. And they were the first band of the day. I mean, someone has to start things out.
Yep.
And, you know. They
sucked me in, man. I watched their entire set.
Homie's on Oxygen. And he was like, yep, we'll be there. I mean, dude. That's killer, man.
Homie's on Oxygen.
Because that
sounds
like
a Rolling Stone cover band.
Oh, dude, I got a t-shirt that says Homie's on Oxygen. Homie's on Oxygen. Justin. Ooh.
And then after them was Thou Shall Wilt.
Oh, What Thou Wilt. That's all right. It's okay.
You're close.
I wish you guys could see Steve's face.
I hate myself.
I almost wish I hadn't corrected him, man. Oh, I feel really bad.
I have to correct him.
I love this band. Like,
They're killer, right?
They're so
killer.
Damn good, and I can't get their name right.
If you didn't correct him, the Peanut Gallery will, so man, at least it's
I feel
you,
like
man.
Such a dick because they're so good.
Steve, actually, Tracy and I, earlier in the day, it might even been during What the Walt set, I was up in Tracy's office with Tracy and Jason for a while, going over numbers, the show in and of itself, how and when we were going to pull the door, all that stuff. And now I forgot what I was going to. Oh, Tracy and I were talking about for 10 years he would misspell window pane. And I bring that up because.
P-A-I-N?
Yeah. P-I-N or P-A-N-E, but two separate words.
Yep.
And he was like, I mean, Tracy was really in a good mood and having a good time.
That was a celebration of his club.
I think he started celebrating the night before, actually.
Quite possibly.
Oh, yeah, Cinco. Yeah.
But, you know, it was funny because at one point I was like, Tracy, for God's sake, it's been 10 years, man. It's window pane, P-A-N-E, all one word. And he literally said, are you sure?
It's your band, but
yeah,
I mean.
So we were cracking up with Tracy. And I'm like, yeah, that's true, man. He actually did that to me. And I'm like, yeah, Tracy, I'm pretty goddamn sure. But
What Thou Wilt.
Anyway, with band names, sometimes, that's the point, is sometimes it's not. You don't always put them together, man.
And then
so what thou wilt.
I've created this thing in my head that's Thou Shall Wilt.
Yeah.
They need to have a side project.
And I'll do that.
And they just do the same songs. That way I'm not wrong.
But had you seen them before?
No.
They are a killer band.
I love them. I've heard their music before and I've enjoyed their recordings, but I've never seen them live. And I mean, Serena, the front woman.
Serena's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, the whole band's fantastic.
Yeah.
They're killer.
Great band. And it's just like, but there's this like weird goth metal sound with, and everyone looks the part, but like then at times like she's kind of got like this kind of cool hippie vibe to her while she's on stage. And then all of a sudden she's shooting bubble guns. Like a bubble machine out of a gun. And I'm like, it shouldn't work, But it works.
Yeah.
It's just something really cool and trippy about that band. I like them a lot.
You see Serena, and she's got a hell of a voice, but here's this, you know, really attractive little 5'1" brunette.
Mm-hmm.
And she will get into certain parts of the song and let out full-on metal screams.
That sound like a dude.
That dudes couldn't touch.
Right.
And it's really cool to watch the range of her dynamic, and she'll be singing gorgeously and beautifully, and then she can drop into that. It's like a Mike Patton thing.
Yes.
And she does it seamlessly, and it's dope. They're such a cool band.
I think it was like their first song, just like really beautiful, like just like you said, vocals, and then all of a sudden she's like, "Feel my rage." And I'm like, "Oh."
And you're like, "God, I do."
I see it and I feel it.
Yeah.
I won't say your name wrong again, I promise.
Yeah, man. What? I'm gonna stencil it on your pillowcase.
I'm just gonna get a tattoo. What thou wilt.
Yeah.
What thou wilt. Then Superfecta, as always.
Oh god.
Never disappoint. Man. So much fun. Those guys are just fire. Firing on all cylinders,
man.
Right now.
They were really tight. They played killer, and you know, it's one of those things. Again, it's what month is it? May.
Yeah.
In Stinky, I don't know what the hell. I almost said August. It's May in Studio 7. At this point, it's, you know, now 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and there's my man Kyle Court wearing a leather jacket on stage.
Oh, of course.
And I'm standing there with Tawny, and I'm like
booty shorts or something. At least,
no.
Come
man,
on,
no.
Man.
I mean, he looked the part. He was full on rock star and like
shades on and everything.
F the heat. Yep. And they played great. They were tight. All those songs are so strong and melodic and hooky. Yeah, I mean, those guys are just such a great band. And Tawny and I are standing there arm in arm just watching Kyle, you know. And finally I turned to Tawny and I was like, "Can't believe he's rocking a leather jacket in here." And Tawny's like, "I know, that's amazing, right?"
Yeah. What a great performance. Yeah,
Kyle was just destroying it.
He's just got to be just soaked underneath it.
Oh, God, dude, like you strip him nude and he's like a pale raisin under there.
and they know... indication that he was sweating or hot or anything.
Destroyed. Just, they put on a killer show. Oh, we should say, by the way, congratulations to Kyle Court and Heather Hale.
Oh, yes.
They are now engaged, man.
Oh.
Yeah, and I met...
Congratulations.
I think I met Kyle and Heather both through the New Originals a decade ago.
I think they weren't even dating at that point.
No, they were just friends back then. Yeah.
She was taking pictures and just a good homie. And, and then the love blossomed.
Yeah, that's killer, man. I'm really, really stoked for them. So
good people.
Congrats, Kyle and Heather, man.
Five Hacks then went on stage called Bruiser Brody. was what it was.
Actually, everybody that wasn't at the show, Jeff Rouse couldn't join us on this one. He's really got a lot going on. He's got his Gemini Project album coming out.
Orchestrated a giant Mother Love Bone.
Yep, he was in on all that.
The night before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he couldn't join us. So Jeff Eason from Casualty of God, and Jeff also plays with Late September Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff came and filled in with
Bruce
Brody.
And played with your blues trio.
Yeah, Jeff plays in my blues trio. We've got a show coming up, too, at Slim's Last Chance here Saturday after next.
Okay.
So I hope you guys can join us down at Slim's in Georgetown
for that. Would be the 19th.
The 19th. Yeah, with my buddy Tyler Jakes. We'll play some music from him maybe next week.
Okay.
He's got an album coming out. Amazing, really cool artist that tours all the time. And then my buddies in Stoic FB.
Oh, nice.
I love that band.
Yeah.
You know?
Except for Malcolm. He's all right.
You're right.
I'm kidding.
No, what was it, the quote? Malcolm is... the embodiment of all things excellent in the Seattle music scene or something.
Is that what I said?
I said something. No, I said something, and they made a movie poster of it with that damn quote. And I wanted to frame it and hang it in my house, man. But I've got the Air Malcolm on the windowpane van.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, there's those Air Malcolm stickers where someone took a shot of Malcolm flying through the air, and then they made little...
Silhouetted it.
Yeah, they silhouetted it like the Jordan. So I have the Air Malcolm on the windowpane van.
That's fantastic.
But that is pretty great.
Yeah. But Jeff Eason sat in with Bruiser Brody and just killed it.
And you'll love this, Rev. So, you know, most bands, typically, you got someone filling in. You're going to have multiple practices to bang it out and get it ready.
This is kind of amazing.
Yeah, except this is Bruiser Brody.
Right. So not only...
These guys.
Now, I say this very lightly. We did practice with Jeff.
We
Jeff
did
his homework and knocked it out of the park. Like, he came prepared. He knew exactly what to play, and he played it perfectly.
Oh, right? We were rehearsing. Steve just kept looking at me, shaking his head and smiling, like, "Dude, are you hearing this guy?" And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Eason's a pimp.
Like,
man.
We went through the songs once in practice. Now, mind you, also, Rev.
Congratulations.
Practice included just two members of Bruiser Brody, me and Glenn. Travis forgot.
That's the best right there. That's just like, no, I got something to do. Travis is like, "Oh, hey, guys, sorry."
Not only did he forget.
At least he made it to the show.
We had a text exchange earlier that day about practice.
Yeah, I reminded him that morning.
And somehow he still forgot.
Travis, I love you.
I love the dude. And he called, and Glenn put him on speakerphone, and he's just like, my man, holy crap, oh my God. Oh,
he felt, so
it would have been way better if he would have been called just to shoot the S.
Like, hey, and man,
be
what's like, going
on? Yeah, exactly. What's going on?
What are you up to?
Well, I shot him a text. It was like, hey, brother, ETA. And I pressed send, and my phone rang. It was like, once the satellite, as soon as my message hit the satellite, Travis was calling me. And he's not kidding, because my earpiece is broken, so I have to use speaker. He's not exactly, he's literally like, dude, oh my God.
Bunch of words you'd have to bleep.
Just think his name and he'll arrive.
It was funny, but obviously, I mean, like, just so we knew that everything was good. Like, we went through it with, and dude, the show was so much fun.
We really played great. People were excited to hear the band.
Yeah, a lot of new people who hadn't seen us before. Who messaged me afterwards being like, your band blew me away.
Now, have you guys, are you guys playing the new stuff that's soon to be released?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We are going to record next week over at Robert Lang Studios. We're going to finish our record, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to record hopefully five more songs, depending on how much time we could get in. But we got 2 days at Robert Lang Studios, just like last time. We're going to go in and just kamikaze, bang them out. Yep. It's going to be a blast.
Here we go again.
And then this Saturday, I don't think we're having a practice, are we? I don't think
I'm not that I'm aware.
Now you don't need that. You guys are your previous show is the practice for the next show.
It's literally been discussed openly. Steve is bent over slapping the desk in hilarity.
So our show is technically practice for our studio.
Yeah. This gig is our only rehearsal for our upcoming studio.
You guys
time.
Are the worst and yet the best.
Dude, that's rock and roll as F, and you know it.
I do.
And that's what makes, I think, Bruiser Brody from Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a certain energy and magic to us because of that.
Well, and I think we captured that on that first EP. I mean, it was, you know, like I'd said when I called Travis, I was like, are you into some kamikaze? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, and it was. It was kamikaze as hell. But I think that energy and rawness and vibe is captured on the recording. And I think it's part of what makes the recording cool. We didn't sit there and pick it apart and overthink anything. We went in and played our rock songs.
I'm stoked.
And it was cool.
I'm stoked for Saturday. It's going to be a Jazz Bones.
Yes.
The wife and I have already slotted out our plans. I'm on the list, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, thank God. Okay,
I know a guy in the band. Yeah. I'll get you in.
We'll put you on that list.
I'll hit up Steve.
Yeah. But yeah, no.
Steve's going to order me a pizza. So.
Even before we confirm, absolutely, we're going to go to this. It's in Tacoma. I don't like when you guys are playing at Tony V's. I'm sorry, I love y'all, but there's no way I'm going to Tony V's for a concert.
If my buddy Tavis didn't drive me to Tony V's, I wouldn't have made our show.
Oh, dude, and I mean, you guys both live further south than me. I'm only in Burien.
Yeah,
but people are like, dude, we're playing. I'm like, dude, when is your next show? I'll be there. We're Tony V's. And,
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, my passport expired. I can't come that far north.
And it's literally nothing against the club, nothing against Everett.
Place.
It's just
it's a hike.
It's the trek.
F that.
I'll go to Seattle for shows and have no issue and be fine with it. But if it's up there, it's at that point.
That's an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah. It's an hour and 40 minutes for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. It comes down to, okay, we're going to have to get a hotel room that night.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with that. Yeah, sure, man. Yeah.
Well, you could have slept in Tony V's RV with Travis.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Jazz Bones, which is this Saturday night, we are going to be playing over at Jazz Bones. It's on 6th Ave in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
The show starts at 8 p.m. Well, doors open at 8 p.m. The show starts at 9, and it's going to be us, Antihero, and Wyatt Only in the Wreckage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and we're going on last, so come hang out and drink and have a great time. And if you want to hang out with us before Jazz Bones,
pre-funk,
we are doing... I mean, they say I wouldn't call it a meet and greet. It's more like we're going to be there and come say hi, hang out, and buy some weed. We're selling weed at Mary Mart.
Let's just call it meet. I don't know.
A meet and weed?
Meet and weed?
Yeah, right?
Meet and weed.
That's a tongue twister.
I just said meat and wheat.
Meat and
so
wheat.
So I'm, apparently...
Bring you a horn full of ale. Let's get this party started, man.
Is it Meat Weed, like a Stone Temple Pilots song on their second record?
Meat Plow.
Oh, yeah. Meat Plow. It's the opening track.
Wow. You know what? I love Mary Mart. I was over there the other day.
Well, come by and hang out with us. We're going to be there at 7:30 on Saturday.
Yeah. You can meet the one and only Reverend Enfuego. Yeah.
Yep. All of us from the Mixed Cast. And members of Bruiser Brody.
That's right.
We're all going to be there at 7:30 just hanging.
Just hanging out.
Come say hi. Come kick it with us. Come meet some of the fine people over at Mary Mart. Buy your marijuana needs while you're there.
I'll be rubbing some of that menstrual cream, the PMS weed menstrual cream on my neck and
shoulders.
They
have some interesting people that work there. Like, their like other side jobs are fantastic. There's a lady there who does burlesque.
Nice.
The Sonics guy works there. Legitimately, the guy who wears the Sonics jersey with the fro.
No.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, and you immediately can tell it's him because he wears his Sonics jersey.
He's a legend.
And he has his fro still.
We need him at the Jazz Bone show holding his Sonic sign. And he's just on stage the whole time with us.
Doing nothing. Just randomly.
On the Sonic sign.
I bet he would do it, actually.
He probably would.
So yeah, we're going to be there at 7:30 at Mary Mart. It's cool. Also on 6th Ave, so it's not like you have to go anywhere. You can park your car.
It's like a stone's throw from the club, right?
It's walking distance. It's right next to like the Red Hot and Ice Cream Social.
Yep.
A lot of good places right around there. A new place called Fish, Fish, Fish.
What do they serve there?
They serve fish.
That might be our dinner plans.
I haven't been there yet, but
maybe,
Billy
Saturday.
Yeah, Billy absolutely recommends it.
Really?
Yeah,
right.
From Mary Mart.
Yeah.
Billy's on the guest list too. He's coming to the show.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
And thanks to Misha for setting up this fun little meet and weed.
Awesome.
That's rad.
Yeah, coming out with Bruiser Brody. Hang out with the Migs cast 7:30 this Saturday, and then after that, we're gonna all walk on over to Jazz Bones and see what happens.
Get our rock show on.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Should be fun, man.
Nah, it'll be killer.
Play with Wyatt and the crew again. They crushed it also.
Yeah, they were killer.
Windowpane as well. Awesome. It was a great night.
It was a killer night, man. Then after us, we had, after the Windowpane set.
Almost Human.
Almost Human. And they do Kiss right. I mean, it is the full on dude. And they get up there and just destroy it. And then, the Very Ozzy tribute closed out the night, and that's all killer stuff, too. I mean, it's all that 80s era Ozzy.
Yeah.
And they nail it. Just nail it. So.
I unfortunately wasn't able to stick around till the end. I finally got the text from the wife. She's like, are you coming home?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because I had a long day.
That woman to do what I want.
And I was like, you know what? She never, ever is like, hey, why aren't you here yet? Like, but she was just like, yeah, I'd like to hang out with you before we go to bed. I'm like,
oh yeah, you had a
on my way, babe. Don't even need to ask twice. I totally get it. I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not gonna be like, no, I need to stay out and rock out longer.
Oh dude.
Yeah, that was Sunday.
That was a busy day for you.
Yeah.
Because you had Mick Foley as well.
Earlier in the day, I went down to Crypticon, which is a big a horror movie and culture con that happened over at the DoubleTree right by SeaTac.
Yep.
So here's the best part. So I get there, and first of all, Crypticon, I know, Rev, you were there as well.
Yep, on Friday and Saturday.
I've never been to Crypticon before. I can't wait for next year.
Like, yeah.
It's just fun people watching. Everybody, there's like scary looking vampires and monsters, and they're the nicest people in the world.
Yeah. Oh,
it's such a cool.
Yeah. The horror crowd are some of the nicest, most courteous people, be it the actors, the fans. But it's also, you're having a great conversation with a person with like a literal axe in their head, bleeding gore all over their face.
Like the Red Rum twins from The Shining are walking around, and it's
giant
just
freaky
cool,
clown.
Man. So
it's great.
I get there. The only time where people weren't being very friendly is when they were trying to find a parking spot.
Oh, God, yeah.
That happens.
Because there's so many people. You pay to get in to the parking lot. So, like, you know, well, you get the ticket. So once you're in, now it's like you've made a financial investment. But here's the thing. All the spots are pretty much taken.
Okay.
So everyone's driving around like it's Christmas Eve at a mall.
Oh, yeah.
Trying and waiting for someone to pull out. So finally, a guy's like, hey, man, I'm leaving my car. I'm leaving right now. You want a spot? I'm like, yes. He's like, follow me around. So I see where he's going. I try and get there. Some guy cuts right in front of me and takes the spot.
Oh, like, confrontation Steve time.
No, because I was a logical man and I realized he had no idea that this guy was, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he didn't cut me off.
He
like
didn't know there was an arrangement.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was mad at the guy who told me he was going to give me the spot. I'm like,
because he didn't defend it.
He should have waited until he knew my car was there. All right, maybe not. So now I'm driving around again.
Yeah.
This woman gets mad. She's cursing people out.
Nice.
It's just chaos, man. I was loving it. Because I got there super early, so I really was just, now I'm
good
like,
call.
I'm not in a hurry, and this is amusing.
Right. So I get to the to get my tickets. The people there at the will call are super great. They're like, you seem really happy. I'm like, yeah, I've had the best time watching people yell at each other trying to find parking spots. And she's like, I keep telling them they need parking attendants to help direct things, and the hotel always forgets, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, I had no problem with it. She's like, I just appreciate you showed up with more time to spare than most people that come to do like a panel.
Yep.
She's like, you didn't show up 5 minutes before your panel. I'm like, no, I'm here like an hour and a half.
Or what are the panelists on mine who showed up a half hour after the panel started?
Oh,
nice.
Just slides right
How was the
side.
Panel?
The panel was great. The one
What was the panel about?
That one was about the history of horror movies on television.
Okay.
Or horror television. So TV shows, movies, and all of that. And it was great because the guy, he slides in, and he's a really good guy, and he's fun and all.
But the panel's in progress. He yeah. just kind of so, slides yeah, yeah. in by
he comes
the table.
In, and it's
hey, guys.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, hey, what's going? And I immediately throw him into the conversation, but I also, like, just kind of it didn't necessarily surprise him because it was something we'd been talking about right then, but it was like, oh, now you're here. Have some input. And fortunately, he was able to go for it. I kind of wanted to landmine him a little bit. And make
sounds
sure.
like you wanted to set him up for failure.
A little bit, but he
what are your thoughts on this, man, who just entered the room?
Exactly. And it was one of those so I could introduce him and then, yeah, kind of blindside him a little bit.
How would you compare this to what we talked about earlier in this panel that you weren't here for?
Yeah, it wasn't exactly. that bad, but it was still one of those where I'm like, yeah, I'm moderating this panel, so I'm going to make sure and have a little fun with it.
Oh, yeah, man. Of course.
So mine, I got to interview Mick Foley, WWE legend, Hall of Famer, God, Mankind, so cool. Cactus Jack, Dude Love, whatever you want to call him, Mick Foley. And I got to do it in front of a live audience that whatever, like either they were paid for the premium or they just walked in or whatever it was. But it was a good sized room of Mick Foley fans. And I started getting nervous. I'm like, I could do interviews in here at like a hotel room.
You'll
like,
dig
you know,
it when there's 200 people watching you kind of thing.
It's, right. It's really intimidating.
It really is. And thank God Mick Foley is just a pro. He's super engaging, super nice. So we're having a great time. Like I'm making him laugh up there. The crowd is eating it all up. Like nice. I'm just feeling this. And there's this woman in the front who I thought was friends with Mick Foley. She's dressed crazy. Like almost like a, like she's going to like one of those carnival kind of like things.
All right,
just
yeah.
big masks, all this pink and giant dress and all this stuff. And she's from Germany. And so like,
yeah,
she's like, he says something and she's like, yeah, la, 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 da, da, I remember my first beer. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're friends.
Oh, no.
Well, as we continue, like I was like, hey, guys, we've got questions. Let's just have it be fun and loose. Like, we're not recording this because Mick wanted to share stories that he puts on his show, mm-hmm. on his spoken word tour, so he didn't want it to be out there on the internet so that way people wouldn't come to his show.
Totally.
Which I was like, that's fine. I've already interviewed you on my podcast 2 weeks ago. I'm not.
Got mine. Don't care.
Right. So people are just asking questions, and I'm doing follow-ups, but she just keeps talking. And I'm like, and I could tell the crowd is like getting annoyed with her.
Yeah.
Like she was asking questions, a follow-up, and a follow-up to the follow-up. And I'm like,
she's having a conversation with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, is this his friend? What the hell do I do? I'm losing the room. And I'm also selfishly, I'm not having a moment. Like, this is not supposed to be German lady and Mick Foley. This is supposed to be me and Mick Foley. So.
Anyone from America have any questions? Well, Scheiße.
So. Finally, she says something about how she has a workout plan, and I hear Mick just go, oh. And I was like, oh, thank God.
So now you know this that they're not allies, friend. And then you're just like,
no.
Yo, bitch, shut up.
Well, I did a little bit more tactful than that, Rev.
Okay. Sorry, I've been dealing with the neighbor lately. So,
but I'm like, thank God this is not his friend. So finally, she keeps talking, and I'm like, I could tell people in the room are just getting annoyed. And I don't blame them. Like, it's disrespectful to like hog the questions.
You put her through a table.
I did. I just choke slammed her and then did the suck it. Now I go, hey, lady, I mean no disrespect, but there are other people that want to ask questions. You've had plenty of questions asked. If you can, I'd really appreciate it if you just sit back and enjoy the rest of the conversation.
How'd that go?
She sat back and smiled.
Cool.
And I was like, that worked. And Mick kind of like gave me like a little like, nice freaking work.
Yeah,
on right?
Go, yeah, good lady. Job, man.
Like,
yeah.
Like
you're like the freak whisperer.
Right.
And dude, good place to be, man.
There was a few people that looked at me and just kind of went, like, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
And after that, it was awesome, dude. Great time. She shared some incredible stories. We had a lot of laughs. Ended. He's like, dude, that was awesome. You did a great job hosting this.
Nice. Doesn't it feel good when they say that afterwards?
Yes. Like, he was my buddy. As we're walking out, who sees us immediately with a camera? The camera, that German woman. And then she goes, yeah, blah, 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 blah. What an incredible host you had for this panel, Mick. He was great. And I'm like, I shut her down. And she didn't hate me.
It was respect. It was
that's
respect.
Cool.
You exerted dominance.
That's right, dude. You had the alpha
German
up.
Women like that. You are not the alpha female.
Nine!
Niet!
No, that's Russian.
Shoot!
Schnell!
No, that's American.
Schnitzel!
That, I think, is German.
Yeah. Pretzel.
Schnell, I think, means go.
Yeah, or now.
And Scheiße, I don't think you have to bleep.
Well, we'll just continue on without worrying about it.
Peter's the only German I know. I know Herr Corloin is captain.
Herr Corloin?
Herr Corloin. Because I've seen the movie Das Boot like 100 times, man. It's an incredible film.
It is, actually.
So I have a question.
Uh-oh.
It's nothing bad.
Okay.
So I'm just it just popped in my head. So my buddies, Cooper and Cole, they have been training with me in the world of wrestling. Oh, and yeah. Their characters that they're finally gonna have their big debut at 3-2-1 Battle next Friday. Not this Friday, but the Friday after. Of course, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it.
What the hell, man?
I know, dude. It's killing me. But it's my wife's birthday weekend. We're going to some place. Okay,
I don't get to say this very often, but I think Steve's actually busier than I am.
Sometimes.
I think he has more going on.
Welcome to the month of May.
Dude.
So I'm not going to be there because...
Dude, Tawny's going to leave you if you don't slow down, Steve.
Tawny, stay with me. But I love you. So, of course, the one time that they're actually going to be there... doing their thing is the one time where I absolutely cannot make it because I'm leaving town with my wife to go party on a lake with our friends and celebrate her birthday. It's
forward slash
awesome.
Bury a body.
Quite possibly. Well, now we got to get a big floaty. I'm trying to find a good floaty. I want the poop emoji floaty. Oh.
Do they make one?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Sid's leaning more towards a pizza one.
Yeah, you want the poop
I like
emoji.
The pizza one.
Which I mentioned, on the pizza one, man.
I mentioned one of the guys at wrestling the other day and they thought I said penis. And they thought my wife wanted a big
giant
penis
inflatable
floaty.
Penis.
Oh man!
And I'm like, no. If
that
you
would
knew
be
my wife,
hilarious.
You would think this is even more ridiculous. Emphasis on one part of that word, ridiculous. But then we started thinking, how great would it be if I accidentally purchased the wrong one? And I was like, babe, I called and ordered a pizza one, and they sent me a penis one.
I just want photos of her with a big smile floating on like a 7-foot inflatable dong.
I'm sorry, you know? I'm sorry, but the poop one is outstanding.
The poop one is pretty amazing.
59-inch for $20 at Walmart.
Worth it. Oh, yeah. That's where we should go, Walmart.
Yeah, go to Walmart. Actually, apparently, they have all the emojis.
I think the little unicorn one would be pretty happening, too.
The gold swan.
I've seen the swan one, too.
Is there a giant penis inflatable?
Be careful as you Google search inflatable penis. You're going to get mixed results.
It was autofilling. I started typing in inflatable, and it started with inflammation. inflatable. No, that's not it. Oh, no. No, there's a Beachbody one.
Told you, man. Sorry.
Captain Pecker. That is a big,
is it a big inflatable?
Stupid thing. I don't want
Amazon Prime's like, buy it now.
Amazon's like, pick a charity. I was like, no, I'm looking at inflatable penises.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
The image on the box is hilarious.
She's riding it like a Bronco.
Yeah, she's riding it like a witch would fly on a broomstick, giant inflatable.
And it's called Captain Pecker, the party wrecker.
Remember that so you can be like, honey, I swear to God, I didn't do this on purpose. I know your family's here. Tell them it's a very... happy snail.
Now, it doesn't say that it counts as colored. A flotation device.
Oh.
For novelty use only.
Yeah.
You might sink.
How do you blow this up? How do you blow up Captain Pecker, the 6-foot-tall inflatable penis? You use your mouth.
You have to use the penis pump.
You pump from your own dog and transfer the energy to that dong. So anyways, they're a new tag team.
Going back to tag teams, and we're not worried about inflatable penises.
Man, we really derailed there. Okay.
I love it.
So your two buddies, debut match.
Next Friday, the 18th or whatever that night is.
It is the 18th, yes.
Okay. And they're going to be in the very first match. So if you are going, please show them support. They're bad guys, though. They're in the world of tag
teams.
Yes, and they are cops. So their tag team name is the Bad Cops. And they're going to come out to the Bad Boys theme.
Nice.
But I thought, and Glenn, could you do a good Jamaican reggae singer voice?
Yeah, man, I could try and do it. Yeah,
do you know? You guys know.
God bless.
So there's the Bad Boys theme.
Mm-hmm. Let me just...
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were...
Do you think we could change that to... Could you sing it as Bad Cops, Bad Cops?
Probably. See if there's a karaoke version out there. If there's a karaoke version, I could whip it up for him.
So let's see. Wait, you got the part that goes... I think it starts off with Bad Cops. Let's see. What you gonna do
when Sheriff John Brown come for you? I can imitate that voice.
Okay.
Let's I don't know. I'm not going to try it anymore here on the cast. But if there's a karaoke version, I bet I could whip something up for him.
Oh, that'd be awesome, dude.
Seriously.
Oh. Right. Oh. Do when they come for you. Found it. Oh, I got one too. Oh.
Oh, they're all in different keys. Yeah, so I'll use the karaoke version.
I'll find a better version.
Yeah.
But I think that'd be pretty awesome to surprise them with like a bad cop. What you gonna do? You don't have to do like the verses.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Yeah. Bad cops. What you gonna do?
Sure.
I think they'd be really pumped about that.
Oh, yeah, they would love it. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I bet I can make that happen.
Yeah.
Sure, man.
Oh, nice.
And it's weird to this day when I hear that song, I just picture trailer parks. You know?
I picture Lakewood.
Yes. Oh, my God. It was always unincorporated Pierce County.
Oh, and I was in Lakewood.
And I was always afraid I'd see my uncles on it.
Dude, how about this?
Always.
So the guy who created Cops, the show, I guess, or one of the producers, was a former cop, which makes sense,
yeah, that
right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, of course, the guy's made a ridiculous amount of money because of this show.
Would think.
And so he owns like an insane home in Vegas. And apparently every year, back before they had an NHL team, he would invite a bunch of cops to come party with him, and they would go to an exhibition game for like the LA Kings or something, because he's a big hockey fan. So I knew some dudes that worked for the Lakewood Police Department, and they were always invited. I was like, why do you always get the invite? He goes, because we've given him so much great content.
Yeah. We've given him a ton of content.
Yeah. Right.
So you get up to like Roy and Yelm and Spanaway and Midland and all of that.
Yeah.
It's Mad Max out there, man.
Yeah.
It really legitimately is.
So yeah, he's just crushing it and then just takes care of the Lakewood content.
That is because, so amazing.
Look, hey guys. I could tell from this previous season that your year really sucked. Why don't you come down to Vegas?
You guys need this more than I do. Come on down.
Yeah, I saw that episode, Steven, where you were slapped in the face by the topless, heavyset woman with a frying pan 6 times, trying to get her to stop putting her cat in the microwave. I saw that episode. Come on down to Vegas.
I heard you got a concussion from her.
Yeah, man.
One of the ones that will always just sear into my brain, and I don't even think it was out of a local one, but it was a truck driver who got pulled. He wasn't even pulled over. He was at the truck stop hanging out, apparently maybe causing some issues or something was going on inside his cab. They ask him to come out, and he comes out in a leopard print, like like bikini, like low cut. Like it looked like a Borat thong on this guy.
Very nice.
And it's like, wearing his tennis shoes in this leopard print. It's like, are you okay, man? He's like, yeah, man, I'm fine.
Yeah, fine. What's your name?
And it was totally
Gosh.
That. I'm just like, I love that show so much.
You know who's a huge fan of Cops?
Yeah, Crystal Meth in there. What makes you think that?
It's Craig Gass.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I wonder if we could get him on the phone.
That'd be fun.
Because he's like, there have been times where I've called him up. I'm like, hey, man, what you doing? He's like, watching Cops.
Like, I wonder if he's upgraded to live PD. Which is, it's quote-unquote live because they just have a bunch of places all over, like a big television screen.
Yeah, try calling call him from the hotline. I bet he has that number programmed into his phone, if anything.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean, every time I talk, or he's like, I'm watching campus security.
Oh, that one's really good.
Yeah.
That exists?
Yeah, there's the one
campus PD, which is just them trying to basically get minors in possession and dealing with drunk people. That's all it
is. Kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that exists.
Oh, it's fantastic. Let's hope he answers.
Come on, Craig.
I mean, what is he? What else is he doing at 11:20 in the morning?
If he says he's watching Cops, I will fall out of this chair laughing.
Gosh, I hope.
He's not going to answer.
Yeah, he'll answer. All right, maybe he won't answer.
I used the line that he is familiar with.
Okay.
So he should know the line. It's the one that he calls whenever he wants to put input on the main show.
Hey there, you've reached 646.
Oh, sorry about that. We won't be leaving a message.
I'll just text him.
Yeah, text him and tell him we're going to call him again.
Yeah.
But no, they've upgraded now. It's live PD where they're doing it all live and they're cutting to different things that are going on.
Oh, they live stream it?
Yeah, it's on
that
television.
That seems a bit risky because they might have, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the fun. A lot of them are a lot of chases that are going on live. And I mean, that's something that I'll just watch on YouTube too. It's just the police chase, the LA police chases.
I like the,
it's like GTA.
Kind of popular for a minute, but the, it was the Russian dash cam footage.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many crazy accidents, and like people will throw themselves onto cars to try and get insurance money. So, like, half, you know, over half the drivers are there, like, dude, I'm getting a dash cam. And you'll see funny stuff where, like, a car's at an intersection, a guy's walking, and then he just throws himself on the hood of the car.
I saw one in China, and it was this old woman who would lay in front of this car. The car was, the driver was not buying it, so he'd back up a little bit. So she'd get up, slam her hands on his
and then lay back down.
Yeah, slam it on the hood, and then lay back down. She followed him down, like, three blocks while he was trying to back out.
Oh, my God.
Because he couldn't get... There was no side street that he could get out of. He was just stuck in, like, essentially this alleyway.
It's like a real-life version of the Trailer Park Boys.
Well, yeah. And some of those accidents are just insane, man. Like, crazy accidents. Like... Yeah.
I just love when the cameraman's trying to keep up with the cops. And you just hear him breathing heavy. All right, this will be our last attempt. Uh-oh.
Let's see if I did it correctly. Come on. There we go. I'm sorry. You have reached a person who is watching Cops.
He's going to be like, of all things you're calling me about. This is the thing you need to speak to me about, is Cops.
Yeah, I just seen him. I saw him with a picture with Jericho, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he did a podcast with him. It's actually a really good episode on Talk Is Jericho. With Craig Gass, who's going to be on his Rockin' Rager cruise.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to answer.
Nope.
Hey there.
Hi.
Jerk.
Bye.
Screw you, Craig Gass. We should just edit all that out. We won't.
We could.
No. Let people suffer through it. Yeah. What are you listening to? I'm listening to a phone ring for 10 minutes straight.
I'm listening to three idiots call a guy multiple times to talk about Cops.
I'm just going
to
add the three-hour edit where it's just the phone ringing for about 2.5 hours.
That would be funny. They're like, damn, they did a four-hour podcast.
And we're still trying to call Craig Gass, man. I don't know what's going
on. What's bad is how many...
He says call back.
How many diehards would sit through that to see if anything funny was going to happen?
That's the best troll ever.
I love that he's like, call back. Good things come in threes.
Did I do this correctly for the third time?
We'll see.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh.
Nope. We'll see.
Hello.
Craig Gass.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah!
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 What the
heck? Craig, you're here with the Rev, myself, and Glenn Cannon.
What's up?
We're recording for a podcast, so don't swear. I don't want to do work.
Oh, you actually bleep out the curse words?
Yeah.
Company makes us.
Okay, no problem. All right, no cursing.
Yeah, you can see the invisible foot of the FCC planted squarely on Rev's prostate even as we speak.
It happens.
I thought that was something that Rev paid for, but all right.
Well, I mean, in my off time, yes.
Craig, the reason why we're calling...
What is the hot topic?
Here's the thing. Of all the things we're going to bother you about, this is the thing that we wanted to bother you about. I don't know if any other radio shows have done this to you before, but we were just having a pretty extensive conversation about the television show Cops. And I'm like, you know who loves the show Cops? To the point where I've called them multiple times, and I'm like, hey, man, what are you up to? And you're like, I'm watching Cops. It's Craig Gass.
You know what? In fact, I got pulled over by the cops two nights ago, and I talked to them for an hour about how much I love the TV show Cops.
Did it get you out of the ticket?
It was just a, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was, everything was fine. It was just, I was actually walking through a nice neighborhood at 2:00 in the morning, trying to catch up to my 10,000 steps. I've been walking 10,000 steps a day, and I look suspicious because
you were dragging a dead prostitute or something.
I was in a really nice neighborhood in Connecticut, wearing a Seattle Thunderbirds jersey and a Mariners hat. I look completely
that suspicious.
That is really suspicious.
That is really, really suspicious.
It sounds sketchy.
So, it ended up being two police vehicles came over to talk to me, and we ended up talking and laughing about the TV show Cops for an hour.
Oh, so, nice.
So what are some
so
of
if
your...
there are any robberies, if there are any robberies that night in Connecticut, it was because the cops were all talking to me and laughing.
When I'm picturing the people looking out their window like, oh, my God, the cops are friends with the weird, sketchy guy. They're in on it.
Oh, yeah.
They're in on it.
They're all T-Birds fans.
For the Thunderbirds. Yeah, exactly.
I love that you bring a Thunderbird.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, though, Cops is my favorite show. I don't know what angle you've taken on this topic, but the main reason I love the TV show Cops is because I am obsessed with watching people lie. I love watching people. A good Dateline investigation, a good 60 Minutes investigation where they catch a perpetrator. But Cops is in real time. You catch someone right as they've done an illegal act, and the look on their face as they scramble to say, "Oh man, like that is the best entertainment to me." Is that the angle you've been taking? Like, what have you guys been discussing about Cops?
I mentioned how I have a couple of buddies that work for the Lakewood Police Department, and every year they get flown to Vegas where the main producer, one of the guys from Cops, has like a ridiculous mansion. And the reason why he always takes care of the guys from Lakewood is because they've given him so much great content for his television show.
By the way, I know you guys have seen it before. There's been more than one episode of Cops that featured a KISW t-shirt.
I have seen one.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's been I've seen two episodes of Cops where a KISW t-shirt was being worn by the perpetrator.
We need to get a screen capture of that.
Oh yeah. Dude.
Yeah, as a Cops historian, I can tell you, I can confirm that that is true.
I've seen other radio stations in other markets too, like some like top 40 station from like Philadelphia, and I'm just like, that's so awesome! What great product placement.
Well, this is, it's like a weird "you've made it" moment. I can remember this is a couple months ago now, maybe 6 months ago, but there was a huge store, like a storage facility place that was broken into and robbed. They had the perpetrators on camera. And both these guys were rocking windowpane t-shirts.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Tony and I were like,
"All right, so
do we share this on social media or not?"
Can I tell you my favorite episode of Cops?
So awesome.
Please yes. do.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite episode of Cops, I can sadly point to this as probably a highlight of my entire life. Because it's the hardest I've ever laughed. And... there's a very specific distinction about how hard I laughed when I was watching this episode. So the episode opens with this police officer saying, "Okay, so we are responding to a domestic that apparently took place in this field up over here." So a couple can't even afford a house to fight in. They're fighting in a field. So cop gets out of the car, gets flashlight out. Up ahead in the field, you see a middle-aged black couple. The woman turns around. Her mouth is covered in blood. Her bottom row of teeth are missing. Her top row of teeth are broken. This guy just assaulted her. And the cop walks up and says, "Hey, what's going on over here?" And the woman turns around and starts telling exactly what's going on. When the guy, the perpetrator, jumps into the frame and actually says, "You better tell him the truth. I will knock you out. You better tell him the truth."
Oh, Jesus.
On camera, and the cop flips out and goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, miss, all right, here, you sit on the hood of my car." And then he turns his attention to the perpetrator, puts the flashlight on him, and goes, "All right, sir, you're so eager to tell me your side of the story. What's going on?" And the guy goes, "Look, I ain't gonna lie, okay? Because I push her. Yeah, I push her. So what? I push her. But then she assaulted me." And the cop goes, "She assaulted you?" And the guy goes, "She assaulted me." And the cop goes, "With what?" And the perpetrator says, "Her face." And I farted. I laughed so hard. I am telling you, what? If you have not laughed until you've laughed so hard that all your muscles loosen up and a fart comes out of your butt.
Dude, that's incredible.
That was the single best laugh. If you don't mind, I'd also like to tell you my runner-up for the favorite episode.
Please do.
Second favorite episode took place in Indianapolis, and every time I'm in Indianapolis, I've actually put out an APB for this guy when I do radio appearances, because I really do want to meet this guy. It was based in Indianapolis, and it was a robbery that took place in the strip mall, and they pulled up behind the strip mall, and there's a guy, best way I can describe him is like old school Randy Johnson. You know, Randy's 6'10", and he used to just be a really lanky, like Randy kind of filled out a little more, and he almost looked like a normal, like, shape guy if you weren't standing next to him when you see him on the mound, you know? But when Randy first started in baseball, he was really kind of skinnier, you know?
Yeah.
This guy is really tall. He's a white guy. He's got to be at least 6'6", and he's maybe 200 pounds. He's just really, like, just awkward frame, really skinny dude, really tall. And he's crying on the sidewalk when they pull up behind the strip mall. And they go, "Sir, are you the one who called about the robbery?" And the guy's crying, and he says, "Yeah, that was me." And they go, "All right, sir, just tell us what happened." And he said, "I was locking up my shop, and this gentleman walked up to me, and he said, and forgive my language, but he said, 'Give me your goddamn money.' And I said, 'Sir, I don't want no problem from you.' And then that gentleman over there grabbed me from behind," and they panned over. There is a guy laying in the parking lot. You know those concrete slabs that you bump your tires against when you're in a parking lot?
Yes.
He is laying in between two of them, at limp, in a pool of blood.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
The skinny white guy goes, "That gentleman grabbed me from behind, and I'm a fifth-degree black belt. And as soon as he touched me, he starts crying." And they go, "Sir, are you okay?" And he goes, I'm fine. I'm going to need some new shoes." They pan down to his sneakers. And every time he shifts his body weight from the left to the right foot, his sneakers are so saturated in blood, they're squishing blood out of his
feet. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they go, "Sir, you know, just tell us what happened." And he said, "Basically, I kicked the crap out of him, and I feel bad." And it was the most – I remember sitting on the edge of the bed with the girl that I was dating at the time. I had a glass of chocolate milk. I remember going, "Babe, are you watching this?" And she goes, "I'm reading." And I was like, "Oh, bitch, like, you got to watch." It's like, yeah. I mean, I want to see a spinoff of that guy just being dropped into neighborhoods and just kicking the crap out of people and feeling terrible about it. The thing that I love about him is that he's a good person, but if you touch him,
he'll kill you.
He'll hospitalize you. He will absolutely hospitalize you, and he'll feel terrible about
it. He'll send you flowers afterwards, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good enough guy that he has a conscience about it. Like, why did you make me kick the crap out of you? I had to defend myself. Like,
he's a remorseful vigilante.
Dude, I'm telling you, yeah, man.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, there's incredible.
There's so many great moments on Cops, and it's just the fact, the psychological thing of wanting to lie. I'm sorry, but I got to mention one more.
yes!
a notable mention is the episode that's fairly recent. It's in the last 10 or 15 years where the cops are responding to... I'm sorry.
That's recent for me, but, too, dude. It's the day before yesterday. Right, I'm with it.
The cops are responding to a break-in, and they go and they see the broken window on the side of the house. So they're going around the house, knocking on doors. Nobody's answering. So they finally have to break a window to open the front door, and they come in and they're searching the whole house, and they walk into the bathroom, and they open on camera, they open the shower door, and there's a Mexican guy standing in the shower wearing, and this is creepy, he's wearing the underwear of the little girl that lives in the house.
Oh!
Yeah. And when they open the door to the shower, the Mexican guy, all of a sudden, like he's been teleported there, he just looks up like, "What the hell? Where am I? How did I? Like, he looks around like he's on an episode of Star Trek, and just goes, how did I end up here? What? Whose underwear is this?
This
and
is so strange.
He acts like somebody teleported him into that shower. And then there's another funny move at the end of that segment where the cops bring the guy out wearing this girl's underwear. They bring him out in the front lawn. Several other cops are responding, and the cops who responded, who answered the call, are explaining to the other cops what's going on. Somebody makes a joke that makes all the cops laugh, and they all start laughing. And the Mexican guy wearing the little girl's underwear starts laughing with them and slaps one of them on the back and starts walking away like, ah, you guys, I'm out of here. And they go, hey, wait, get back here. He tried to do this casual move of like, man, you guys are silly. I'm going home. I'll see you later. And he just starts walking away. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
It's so funny, yeah, there's, man.
Have you guys been discussing your favorite episodes? Is there any highlights that have come up?
Honestly, we just started talking about the show, and I'm like, you know who has the stories? It's Craig Gass.
Yeah, it was a broad spectrum analysis of the whole thing, and then suddenly we were dialing your phone repeatedly, dude.
How does the topic come up? Like, what was the reason that it came up?
My buddies are going to be making their debut in the world of wrestling, and their tag team, they're called the Bad Cops. So I'm like, oh, we should, Glenn, who can sing great, I was like, could you redo the song instead of Bad Boys, have it say Bad Cops for their entrance music?
I love that.
And so once we got that down that road, then all of a sudden we started talking about cops.
Yeah, yeah. The train comes off the rails pretty quickly around here.
Yes.
Yeah, what amazes me is how often people who are doing illegal things are also just really, really stupid. And I've had moments in my life where I've been that person, but it's funny to watch. There's more than one episode where someone flags down a cop to say, hey, I tried to buy cocaine, and this is what they told me. This
that guy
is not
ripped
cocaine.
Me off, man. I've got flour. Yeah. He's got my 60
yeah,
bucks,
oh,
man.
And then an honorable mention, by the way, is the episode where the woman says, this woman tried to sell me drugs, and this isn't drugs. This is, you know, this is like salt or something. And they go to this woman's house. This might be the single greatest line in the history of cops, is this older black woman is sitting on the front lawn when the cops approach her and say, hey, this woman says you tried to sell her drugs. She gets upset and she goes, you accusing me of selling drugs? That's my son, okay? This is my son right here in the front yard. And you accusing me of selling drugs? I don't sell drugs. Now, everybody in this neighborhood knows that I'm a hoe. I am a hoe. Everybody knows that, but I don't sell drugs. And I was, and it's, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He says that, and this is my son, but everybody knows I'm a hoe. That's, yeah. Oh.
Man, you just got to imagine, like, I wish you could round these people up and make them take an IQ test.
Yeah.
Just so we could see where these people are falling. You know what I mean?
That or put them all in a room and have them do a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, because you're saying you should round all these people up, and I'm realizing right now I need to round up every podcast that has a topic of cops so I can be an interesting guest
yes.
that I can call in.
Dude, you're like the pie
every show.
You're the cops aficionado, man.
Cops cast.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm just, this is, you hit me right where I live by talking about cops. I'm
expert analysis by Craig Gass.
Well, dude, like I said, there have been multiple times where I've called you back or I've called you just out of the blue. I'm like, hey, man, what are you up to? And you're like, well, I'm in the hotel watching cops.
Yeah, there's been times when I will watch cops in the green room of the comedy club on Saturday night. Now it's cops is on cable, it's on FX, and I haven't been catching as many episodes.
Oh, that's where it is.
I haven't been catching as many episodes lately. It might actually be a different network than FX, but there has been just reality TV of people being caught doing dumb stuff. Is there's just nothing better, and I'm obsessed with watching people lie. So yeah,
this is awesome, dude. When are you coming back to town?
I'm probably gonna hang out. I think I'm gonna come back for Seahawks training camp to film some funny stuff with the players.
Nice.
And then I'm hanging out with your boy Chris Jericho in October on his wrestling crew.
I saw that. And also, dude, I meant to text you to your episode with him the last time you were on. I know you've been on a couple of times, but the last time you were on with Jericho was just freaking hilarious. It was a great episode.
It was a great hang. We actually taped it in Seattle when I was out there just a few weeks ago when he performed.
Yeah.
When I was texting you to say if you want to come see him perform live.
Yeah,
with, he with came, Fozzie.
He was on our show that morning, and I drove him.
That's right.
So he was still, he had a few drinks in him from the night before, and you could tell he was still kind of, he tried to be on his best behavior, and then as we had him on all morning, and he just slowly like loosened up the guard, and you started noticing that he was a little bit more inebriated than probably from the night before than he wanted us to know, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because I guess he admitted it on stage. He's like, hey, who heard me on BJ and Migs? And he's like, yeah, I was pretty drunk from the night before still with those guys. And I drove him back to the tour bus, and he mentioned how he was going to meet up with you at some point to do a podcast.
You know, I'm curious, when you're seeing that unfold in the studio, because I know that you specifically have been legendary for getting people to say things that have made national news. When you see that he's getting a little tipsy, does your brain start spinning about, like, I wonder what I can get him to talk about right now?
Not with Jericho, because, I mean, he was already just saying whatever the hell he wanted to say. He was so open, and there was nothing I could really think of that would, like, lead him down a road of wanting to say anything inappropriate. So it was more just, let's just let him say whatever he wants. I just thought the best part about all of it was his assistant, or his manager, is the son of the drummer of AC/DC, Chris Slade.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
What, his manager in Atlanta, that dude that's the son of the drummer?
Whoever it was he was with when he came with Fozzie. He was a skinny, shorter guy with an English accent. But yeah, that's his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, small world. Well, enjoy the conversation about Cops, man. That is my, there's nothing better.
Yes.
I mean, listen, it's somebody, you know, somebody had the genius to realize that whenever we're driving down the road and we see a bunch of cops on the side of the road talking to somebody, we all want to know what's going on. We all slow down.
Yep.
We all slow down and we all want to stare. And somebody had the genius to say, let's put everything that happens with cops on TV. The first few seasons were awesome because they were just violating people's civil rights right on camera.
Oh yeah.
And they were just punching people, throwing
Let's
them
at tase
like
that woman.
Yeah, they were just beating the crap out of people and just putting up great defenses for these people who are not once do you hear the Miranda rights being read. Everybody is just, they're just slapping people and calling them names. It was awesome the first few seasons until they kind of started to show a little more patience in the seasons after that.
Until the lawsuits started coming from the criminals.
Probably got a little bit of heat.
Yeah.
You guys are profiling.
Can I use this conversation as my first episode of my first podcast called Craig Loves Cops?
Yeah. Dude, you should do a podcast just about cops. I bet there would be a great audience for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be you three, four guys, and then me. Like, that's it.
This is the official Cops Cast.
Cops Cast.
I'm in.
Craig Ass.
All right,
my man.
I'm gonna do a live episode on my Periscope right now of guess how much my residual checks are, and I will talk to you.
Awesome, my man.
All right, buddy. I'll see you soon.
Take care.
Later.
That was
amazing.
Nice.
I told you, the man knows his cops. I was trying to find a clip online of any of like the things he was talking about. I was having a hard time, but I found one that's shorter, and it's just lying. My weed is flying. From the Cops TV show. So I'm just curious. It's a guy. He gets pulled over by the cops. They're holding a taser at him, and he's wearing his helmet backwards.
No, sure. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Get on the ground. All the way on your stomach. All the way on your stomach.
What happened?
That was about as not smooth as it gets. What you want? What you want? What you gonna do?
When Sheriff John Brown come for you. Bad cops, bad cops.
The individual was on his bicycle, and he kept circling in the parking lot, an area notorious for drug sales. Sure enough, as soon as he thought I was out of sight, he goes to pedal down the street. Well, once he pedals down the street, we've gone above suspicion, and now we've got probable cause. He was very, very nervous. He was visibly nervous. You could tell that he didn't like the presence of police.
Do you have any weapons on you?
No.
A little bit of a hesitant right there. You sure you don't have a weapon? Okay. For your safety, my safety, you mind if I pat you down real quick, make sure you don't have a weapon?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm really going to the house.
Well, I go to check his information. I get his information. A lot of stuff's not adding up. And I could smell raw marijuana on him. I mean, it was
raw.
Raw marijuana?
What, instead of cooked marijuana?
What is raw marijuana?
It's in the same packets when you get that sugar in the raw.
Oh,
same kind of packaging.
I was going to say, maybe when you go and check out the guys at Mary Mart before the show, you
ask for raw marijuana.
Yeah, you want raw.
You don't want shake. You want raw.
I'd like your rawest marijuana, please.
I believe that's also gluten-free marijuana.
That's right, man. That's right.
Painfully obvious, and I can see that he's got this pouch that just seems out of place sticking out of his back pocket. As a safety measure, I like to bring all of my subjects while I'm in my car. I want them in front of my car where they're in my line of sight and also where the dash cam can see them. And he, to my amazement, I watch him, he pulls out the pouch in question, but then he kind of goes down and then he comes back up and he just.
So you're getting a picture of this video. Dude just kind of bends down in front of the cop car. You see him pull out what looks like a half ounce of weed, and then he chucks it about 12 feet across the road.
It's not here anymore. I don't have it anymore.
He just throws it.
It's already gone, guys. Don't worry about it.
It's at night, but there's lights everywhere. You can see the thing flying.
Just the most obvious and blatant throw that you could imagine, and chunks it across the street. So then I had to get back out of the car, and we had to change it up a little bit.
Get on the ground.
Yep.
Get on the ground.
Pissed.
Get on the ground. Get on the ground.
Oh.
All the way on your stomach. All the way on your stomach.
What'd I do?
That was about as not smooth as it gets. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
Oh.
Both of them now.
What happened?
This is right up there with Craig talking about how they lie when someone's getting arrested.
What happened?
What are you talking about, sir? What, nothing's changed.
He'd have been better off to lean forward and chuck it under the car, actually.
Right.
Like, what was he thinking?
Clearly he wasn't
been
thinking.
More obvious, my man? Come on now. I've been in the game too long.
I didn't do nothing.
You didn't do nothing? You didn't take that pouch out of your pocket and throw it over there into the grass? Right in front of me?
He denied it and denied it and denied it until he just couldn't deny it anymore. And we go across the street and there's that pouch. And sure enough, in that pouch is a decent sack of raw marijuana.
raw marijuana.
Weed.
What the
in
hell?
The raw. Who calls it raw marijuana?
This guy, he's been in the game a long time.
Yeah.
Right. See, you can tell by his vernacular.
That? A square.
Yeah.
Because if he had a ride along, they wouldn't have noticed that. Or a rookie cop. Rookie cop would have never seen this giant chunk of weed, raw marijuana.
Raw marijuana, raw. Not processed.
He was out of options and sadly had to own up to it.
This fine gentleman here likes to insult my intelligence. Oh, look, it's exactly what I thought it would be.
That ain't mine, man. It's over there in the woods, man. I ain't.
It's over there in the woods, huh? After you threw it directly in front of me.
I couldn't tell, and I felt like there was more on him. And I informed him, you know, hey, you go inside the Sallyport with this, that's a felony charge. And that changes the game completely, and that's going to be solely upon you. Much like a scorned child, he lowered his head, and yeah, it's in my sock, it's in my shoe. So luckily for him.
Do you think he's going to say raw marijuana one more time?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Every time he says raw marijuana, you got a drink.
We've got about 30 seconds left on this clip.
Then yes.
I'm saying yes.
One more time,
you think one more?
Yeah. I'm hoping.
I
agree. He's been in the game a long time.
With this raw marijuana.
He didn't catch a felony charge, and he had a reckoning that he needed to go ahead and just hand off whatever contraband he had and deal with what he needed to deal with. Honesty goes a long way with me. As I've stated 1,000 times before, in this profession, there's a barrage of lying.
15 seconds.
And if you can be honest with me, I can work with you. A lot of people make mistakes out here. I still have a job to do.
You ain't going
to
work with a dude with a half ounce of marijuana?
Yeah, raw marijuana.
Yeah, you're not going to work with him on that.
No, he's in trouble.
But yeah.
People lose sight of the fact that we're human, and I try to keep a very human aspect to it.
Oh, I was hoping the guy was going to claim that his weed flew. I'm pretty disappointed.
That stuff
actually.
Will make you fly. See, look, it flies itself.
And he's like, I'm going to treat you well as he points a taser at the guy's head.
Get on the ground! Get on the ground!
This guy is so stoned.
Because he lied, man.
Yeah.
He's so stoned. All you have to do is say, hey, man, just sit on the ground. He would have with his backwards helmet.
It would be creepy if you just tased the hell out of him.
Where? I want more of your raw marijuana.
That was awesome.
I only got processed weed. Damn.
Right.
Why don't we do some voicemails before we get on out of here?
I did text you guys.
That's right.
I saw the pictures.
I sent the text
to you guys.
So should I put that on the... Cause Tony and I had a long debate. Like, Do we share that on the web, or is it not cool?
It's funny. I mean, it's not like you guys did it.
I think it's hilarious.
You didn't inspire them. You don't have a song that says go into storage
centers. There's video footage, but yeah. That's one of those things. Like,
are they both wearing window panes?
Yeah, man. Both the cats are wearing window panes.
Do you recognize these guys?
No.
Oh my God.
And if I did, I'm not sure I'd want an out. I wouldn't want an out to fan, dude.
What like, if it was you and Tony? You're just like pretending it's not.
Well, you know, that's easier than holding a pancake breakfast, and we do need revenue. But no, and it was one of those things, too. Like, we talked about it at length. We're like, man, you know, the thing is, if those cats bought those teas, we've probably met them, shaken hands with them, probably bought them a drink.
Yeah, they're probably great guys when they're not stealing out of storage units.
I bet they've been to multiple shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guaranteed. And then I sent you guys another picture of
support your band.
That was
with the Cumberland Police.
Yeah, that was the first show we did when we were back east. We all got really hammered. I think it's okay to share this story. We just can't put the pictures on the internet.
Yeah, but
the guy that flew us back, the promoter for the whole event, amazing guy whose name I won't say.
Uh-oh.
Is also a city cop, and we all got hammered. And he was like, "Man, I'll run you guys home in the cruiser." So we're all staying at my parents' house, and you got to imagine it's like 2:33 in the morning, and this cop car comes pulling in behind my parents' house, and my dad walks out like, "What the hell
what
is going
on? Now?
Not again, Glenn!"
And
right?
We all fall out of the car, just hammered, and you know, and my dad's cracking up, and there's like 20 photos from that.
That's awesome.
Sir, the next day, we have an MIP. We're bringing your son home.
Yeah. He was smoking some of that raw marijuana.
the raw stuff. But yeah, he reached out to me the next day. He's like, "Hey, man, do me a favor. Don't post
those pictures."
Don't
post those pictures.
I was like, "Oh, dude, but the one of Chris in the back with a big frown on his face is amazing." He's like, "Yeah, man, maybe don't put those up on the web."
Yeah, dude.
All right, sorry.
That's awesome. The mixed cat,
Mexican. Yeah. Trying to get a message to you.
Yeah,
double bass.
Yeah. All right, let's check out our first voicemail, 253-271-4787. And let's see what kind of voicemail we got.
Hey, Megs, what's up? This is Stevie the Packers fan. What's up, Rev?
Hi. Hey. Oh, it's good to see Stevie over at the show.
Nice.
He was over at the big Save the Seven show.
Nice.
Yes.
And I just want to say Sunday night was a great time.
Cool.
Oh. I actually enjoyed Superfecta finally for the first time. I've seen them before. I just never cared and wasn't a day on them. I just, they were good, and I was really happy with their music. So
this is the greatest review ever. I've seen them before, but I never cared.
But now they made me care. That's
cool. I was happy with their music.
Yes.
That's about, you know. What do you think of that? I was happy with it. You know,
good, and I was really happy with their music. So, roundabout way, what's a couple songs I should check out or an album to check out by them?
Horsing Around,
and of course, Why Don't Only Records were awesome. Bruce the Party was awesome. Window Pane was awesome. I got to see a little bit of Almost Human, and it was cheaper than spending $200 on a Kiss ticket.
Yeah, and they're probably better live than Kiss.
Yeah, dude. They crush it.
They're great, man.
It's always fun. While we were playing, I look over to the side of the stage, and there's Joe, a.k.a. Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
And he's got not all of the makeup done, but he wanted to just catch a little bit of our set, so he's like half made up.
Yep.
It was pretty cool.
That
I was
like, yeah,
we kind of did the nod. I was like, hey, man. Yep. He's like, hey, man.
Same here. He's like, he got his opportunity to give us all the nod, and then he went back to put the makeup on.
See you on
29th.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Nice.
Much love, man.
Oh, it's always awesome great seeing Stevie there.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, he's right. All those bands, everyone was great. I don't think it's been announced yet, so I don't want to, but something cool is going to be happening very soon for Wyatt Only in the Wreckage. Let's just say.
Oh, I think it did get announced.
It sort of got announced on the web.
I saw it on my news feed.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know who leaked it. Did someone leak it or what?
I don't know. Internet's kind of a funny thing. Sometimes websites pop up.
It hit my news feed, and I was like, nice!
And I don't know if it was necessarily sanctioned or not.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I mean, it's just a podcast. No one listens here at work.
Yeah, right.
Congratulations. Why Only the Wreckage are going to be playing
Red Festival.
And that's well-deserved.
Yeah, that's killer, man.
Yep,
absolutely.
For everyone in that band not named Wyatt, I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, Wyatt, you better bring enough dicks for everyone at Red Festival.
Nah, dude, I'm really pumped for Wyatt and the crew. They've been busting their ass, and this is something that's been pretty cool. So if you're planning on going to Red Festival, I know the new originals are going to be playing, so we'll be there.
We'll be down there,
really?
Man.
I'm very excited. Also, Washington Black, it's a Pearl Jam tribute band that I've yet to see, that I've been wanting to see. They all the videos I've watched, they just crush it.
They're great. They're fantastic. Yeah. Killer. And really sweet guys, too.
Oh, cool.
Amazing musicians and sweet guys, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
All the videos I've seen of them performing, they just do a great job of capturing not only the music, but just the nuances of Pearl Jam. So I'm looking forward to seeing them play at the Enum Claw Expo Center.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Same place as last year.
So go to KSW.com.
That's such a great big area, too.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, man.
Hopefully it won't rain on them this year, man.
Hopefully it does, because that was the best part, man.
We got dumped on, dude. And then, like I said, we found out later that they stopped serving alcohol at like 7:30, and we were on at 8. So everyone left, and we were like, aw.
Soaked and drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Drunk and wet.
Exactly,
how,
man.
I like my women. Drunk and wet.
Wait.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, that kind of does work.
Yep, it does, actually. For once, it does.
Drunk and wet.
Drunk and wet, the new album from Bruiser Brody.
And the Expo.
Nice. Set.
All right, let's check out one more voicemail. Let's see what we got here.
Yeah. My daughter just went to prom this weekend. You know, and the kid showed up at the door to pick her up. I could not treat him nicely. And it's just because I was young once, too, and I know exactly what was going to be going down later that night.
Mm-hmm.
We were all young at one point in time, and we know what that kid's thinking when he comes to the door. So I can't even be nice to them.
Well, see, that's just an issue on your own part,
okay,
sir.
Okay, man. All right. Can we just hear that again?
I mean,
did he call us on purpose?
That's a great question.
Yeah, my daughter just went to prom this weekend, you know, and the kid showed up at the door to pick her up.
Yeah, I was going to bang her in the desert.
I could not treat him nicely.
So what'd you do, hit him in the head?
Well, here's the deal.
Look, I want you to know now.
I had to fit it for some cement shoes.
Was off the table. I will cut your throat.
You know? I know how things go down. When I went to prom, I gave it to her.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
Not my daughter.
Jesus.
Oh, we're not supposed to do that.
Well, yeah, you guys, I mean,
son
maybe once, and then, you know, you're dwelling on it.
My bad.
Oh, yeah.
When I went to prom, the date I had, we went right to the poop shoot. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right.
If you go near my daughter's turd cutter, I will kill you.
You're dwelling, Glenn!
And it's just because I was young once, too, and I know exactly what was going to be going down later that night.
Yeah, now everyone on the Mixcast does, too.
The no-go place.
We're all young at one point in time, and we know what that kid's thinking when he comes to the door, so I can't even be nice to them.
Listen,
see, his
gosh.
It's level-headed, menacing, like, if you were going there to meet his daughter and you're going to take her on a nice date with no funny business involved, you would be terrified. I would just turn around and I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm leaving now.
I've had the father threat thing happen. Actually, there was a dude, no lie, his name was Lester.
Lester.
Yeah, I won't, maybe I give away names because names lend legitimacy to the story, but I won't tell the girl's name. I was dating her for a little while, but her dad's name was Lester, and Lester was taller than I am. He's a big guy. He said, come on downstairs. And we went downstairs,
Jesus.
And he showed me his gun collection.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
And that was because when we first shook hands, he grabbed my hand and he squeezed it so hard. And I just kept eye contact and I just kept shaking. Man, great to meet you. Mm-hmm. Awesome to be here. Thanks for having me over. And he was squeezing and squeezing. And I just kept eye contact and just played it totally cool.
Yep.
Like, F you, dude. I'm not letting you.
Just, take control.
Good luck.
Yeah,
you're not going to make me nervous. So that's when he was like, well, come on downstairs. I want to show you something. I'm like, all right. Went downstairs. And he opens up this cabinet. He's showing me his gun collection. I'm like, dude, nice, a 4-inch Smith, man, that's awesome. And it just like
that backfired.
Oh, bad. I'm like, dude, how long have you had the 30-30? Those are fantastic, man. My grandfather has one. One of these days is gonna be mine. And dude, an AR-15, dude, is that a 223 or what are you? Like, I really just so I geeked out with him.
He's like glowing, and by the end of it, he's just like, daughter, make sure he knocks you up. I like this kid.
Well, he was just blinking. Like, no, I could see it in his eyes, like the God damn it.
This isn't going to work.
This backfired, you know, because I'm like, oh, what, you were going to threaten me? I just thought you were showing me your gun collection.
And I'm really pumped to see it.
Man.
That's hilarious.
Dude, a full frame 45, that's really nice, man. God, have you ever shot a Kimber? They're really nice guns. Like, I just geeked out with him, and I knew what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And I just.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I just had my way with him, dude. I violated the hell out of him.
Good on you.
His daughter.
Crazy.
All right, man. I'm taking off with your daughter now, pal. Thanks for showing me. Let's go shooting sometime.
I like your guns. I'm going to show her my love gun later.
Love gun.
Yeah, man. I've got an email at themixcast@gmail.com. Douches, it's been a while since I emailed the podcast, and for that, I apologize. I hate to do this. Oh, it's from our buddy Nick.
Oh, we missed you.
He says, I've come to you with a dilemma. Tonight, as you read this, the editors are playing at Numo's, and I'm going. However, I bought the ticket so quickly that I stupidly didn't research a way back. If anyone who's going may be able to give me a ride home or something, I would owe you forever. If not, wish me luck. Thanks. Nick?
Where's he from?
Everett, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, so he's going to get from Numo's to Everett.
When did you...
He was at the Bruiser Brody show in Everett. You know, Nick is in the chair.
Yeah,
it's like a wheelchair, but not a wheelchair. I always forget
it's
what
it's like
those
a walker sort of thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing him and giving him a hug before the lights went out. And,
yep, same here.
I lost control.
The lights went out, so, and I don't have reason.
Oh, dude. Nick, I love you, brother. But I feel like this happens a lot with you. You really need to iron these things out before you buy the tickets and make sure you have a way to get home
and
a way to get there.
It's in the preparation.
If it means buying an extra ticket for the person that you're going to be going with, that's a good idea. But I feel like this, I remember being at a window pane show and he's like, I don't have a way home. Can you get me home? And I'm like, well, I live in Puyallup and my car is filled with hockey gear. I have no room to fit you in there. And it was just like one of those things where he was going around asking people, can you get me home?
Makes you feel bad.
I feel terrible. That's why I'm like, man, do the Russell Wilson and put the separation in the preparation.
Nice pause there. Nice to collect your thoughts there.
I love you, brother.
But
this happens too much.
It does.
You need to knock it off. You know I love you. And I hope the best, and I hope you get home, and I hope that this wasn't from yesterday, otherwise this is all moved.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Well, he's still might be looking.
To get home, dude.
But he said that yesterday at 10 o'clock at night, so I'd imagine that for today.
Unless he was at the show, and he mailed you from his mobile device.
Jesus Christ.
Nick,
posted on Facebook, offer to buy somebody their ticket.
The MixCast, first off, the MixCast is not a good vehicle to send an email that is going to be read in a timely manner.
Never.
Like,
you're not a ride share.
It might be a month from now.
And you know what? Congratulations, Steve. I'm going to give you props on checking your email.
I did. I printed it, and I was actually going to not even get to the emails, but I'm glad I did. Nick.
Well, and here's a thought, man. I know there's buses.
I love you, dude,
I mean,
come on.
Dude, Cap Hill, Numo's. I know there's buses that run from there to Everett.
And sometimes you're going to have to leave a little early in order to accommodate those things.
Yep,
I guarantee you could probably grab a bus for
something
on the cheap.
Or just, man, you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Just purchase it. I don't know. I don't know what to say, but I hope you're able to get there and maybe post something on your Facebook and say, hey, if anyone can take me. And I know, hey, look, a lot of really cool people who listen to this podcast have given him rides to and from.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. But maybe make sure you get this taken care of before you buy the ticket. That's all I hope for the best, man.
Maybe. Yeah.
Good luck to you, and I love you.
Good luck. Have fun.
All right. Let's talk about... So people have chimed in about random weird places that they get food at from last week's conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This place says it's called Friendly Pizza. Oh, this is talking about the guy who wanted me to buy his kid's pizza. He says, if you want, he's like, yeah, the guy wanting you to buy a pizza is weird. However, if you want to make a friend really happy, have a pizza delivered to their house a few minutes after they get home from work. I've done this several times and my friends love it. From John the Jumbo. That's an awesome.
That's random?
Hilarious.
That's killer.
That's like the greatest non-prank ever.
Yeah. That is really good.
I love that idea.
Like the timing, you've got to really know your friend's schedule, but still, if you do and you can pull that off, that is really cool.
Yeah, Justin sent you a pizza. What? Yeah, Justin sent you a pizza?
Yeah, that wouldn't be me.
Dude.
I wouldn't do that.
I love it if you
guys did. Oh, dude.
My wife's like, why do we eat all this pizza? Somebody sent it to us. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
I had to.
There's a 2-liter. Oh.
There you go.
Oh, dude. Oh.
My wife will be like, I checked the records. You sent it to yourself.
Somebody sent it to me.
Wasn't me.
There's a card. You're special. Oh.
Oh, but John also had a
Glenn,
suggestion.
That's your handwriting. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
John also gave us a hookup on a food truck. He says, this picture of this dilapidated food truck has the best shrimp on earth. It's on the north shore of Oahu, and I look forward to eating there every year on my trip to the island. Yemeni Dum Dum from John. It's called Kahuluku Shrimp.
Okay. There's like
that doesn't look ghetto. That thing looks nice.
It's got a giant shrimp on it.
I've lived in apartments that aren't as nice as that thing, man.
But could you cook shrimp in there?
I probably did. Probably microwave some pierogies and put some ketchup on them. I was like,
there you go.
I should have went to college.
Dustin writes and says, Migs, have you tried the taco bus on Meridian and Puyallup? It's really
taco,
I've seen it.
Taco bus.
I've yet to go there. I need to. He says, I just listened to the Migs cast and I thought I'd throw out that plug. Keep being awesome, brother. I love both of the podcasts, Rev, Glenn, and D. Ted Smith. You guys all kick ass.
Thank you.
At life
Cheers.
As well.
Thanks
for the entertainment from Dustin.
Yeah, we kick ass at life.
I don't know about that.
I like Surge.
I don't know.
I forgot to read the manual, dude. I'm like that parent that can't work the VCR, except the VCR is life, and I don't have a kid to come
Your
set
life
it for
is
me.
Blinking 12 o'clock
all the time.
It's been blinking 12 since I told my mom and dad I didn't want to go to college.
I love Surge sent us an email to a place to go to, and he even sent us a map to where you can find it.
Yeah,
with an arrow pointing
wow.
at the location.
My man,
right here.
Yeah, winning.
He says, "Hey, hola." There's a shady but amazing taco truck in South Park. I believe that's actually their slogan. We're shady but amazing. It's called Muy Macho, and it's just perma parked in a parking lot in South Park, attached as a map.
Nice.
And it looks like it's pretty like kitty corner to the South Park tire factory, right next to a Jalisco's on 14th Avenue South.
All right.
So there you go. Like the cross streets, South Sullivan Street and 14th Avenue
I
South.
I know that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the next time you come back with some tacos.
Well, next time I'm Ubering down there and I'm hungry, I'll be like, logging off.
Where is Muy Macho?
I want to go get my Muy Macho on.
Muy Macho.
This one's from Lucky Fox. He says, hola, Migs Cast. I just want to write and tell you that you guys are awesome.
Sweet.
That's it. No, I'm kidding. Always entertaining and excited for Tuesday nights at work. Your cast is always the first thing that I listen to. That is awesome. Thank
cool.
you. Usually followed by some window pane and soon Bruiser Brody. That's been really important to me as of late since I've been dealing with getting out of a rough relationship of 10 years. To sum it up, accused of cheating on numerous occasions, selfishly hoarding money while making her pay all the bills. That's just the tip of the iceberg, but I don't want to bring the cast down too much. I just want you guys to know that your positive outlook on many situations always reminds me to try and stay positive wherever I can.
Nice.
Keep doing what you do best, and I look forward to more of what you guys do, and that's sent to us by the electronic carrier pigeon. He doesn't give us a name, but
got us an email.
It's Lucky Fox. We,
you know what EPP? No, it'd be ECP. Yeah, you know me. You know what ECP? Yeah, you know me.
That was the problem with his relationship. She thought he was down with ECP.
The electronic carrier pigeon?
Yes. I don't know.
You got the door.
Well, much love, man.
Well, thank you.
Cheers,
and
dude.
Yeah,
it
sounds
hang
like
in there.
As crappy as it is, it's going to get better. And at least you're not going to be in a relationship with someone who's just constantly questioning your integrity.
Gosh, right?
Integrity.
Yeah. Integrity.
One more and we'll get the hell out of here. Mm. I'm like 50 hours behind on podcast right now. Who's this Glenn guy? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow, you are behind. It's been like a year and a half, hasn't it?
I don't even know.
I don't even know either.
Dude, it's been, I think, 2 years.
Has it been two years?
It kind of blurs. It was.
Close to it.
Yeah, it's getting
there.
Yeah.
We should find out.
I'm glad it's so memorable.
I'm the worst at those things.
I don't know either.
Bro, if it wasn't for the fact that my wife and I got married in 2010, I would never know the year designation because it's a perfect zero.
I don't know what year I got married in. I remember the date, and I think I've been married for 12 years.
See?
I think.
I know it's coming up on 8 because it's 2010, so now it's 2018. And we got married in December.
I'm not sure how old my wife is either, 100%. I'm not really sure.
I think Sid's about to turn 31.
Tawny's young and beautiful.
That's all that matters.
How old is she? She's young and beautiful.
Young and beautiful.
How's that?
He says, the last Migs Cast I listened to you guys talked about not getting to see Tom Petty before he passed. Well, I listened to that episode. I just arrived at the golf course I'm currently working on in Houston. I was at the same tournament last year with an awesome friend from Seattle. Petty was just a couple blocks away at our apartment one night during the tournament, and my friend knew the lighting director, so she totally got us in. I'm typically pretty hesitant to go out at night during a tournament, and after years of working in entertainment, I'm super jaded about seeing shows, but she was psyched for it, so I went. God damn, that was a good show. I'm so glad I went to that show, not just because I got to see him before he died, but because it was one hell of a good show. Yeah. Cheers from John DeJumbo. Thank you, John, for rubbing it in and making us feel worse about missing out on him.
Right.
All right, I think that's about it. But again, before we even say goodbye, I just want to make it very clear: Jazz Bones this Saturday night.
Mary Mart at 7:30.
That's right. So we will be selling you some pot outside of Mary Mart. No,
get some menstrual tweeds. Cream.
Yeah, menstrual cream.
First person that comes in to see us will get to apply menstrual cream to Glenn's back.
Oh yeah, and taint.
Yes,
and taint. Yeah,
and taint.
We want to numb that taint, man.
Taint that a shame?
Yeah, that taint doesn't want to remember anything.
So this Saturday, come hang out with us. All of us on the Make Sketch will be at Mary Mart, which is 3002 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
Yep.
That's at 7:30-ish we're going to be there. As soon as we're done with our load-in and sound check and all that fun stuff, we're going to hightail over there at Mary Mart, and we're going to stay there for a little bit. And then we're going to walk on over to Jazz Bones for a big show. Bruiser Brody, anti-hero. How do you pronounce it?
Anti-hero is the way I think everyone always says it.
All right, just making sure. I never
That's like Spokane or...
Spokane.
I said it weird so many times now I can't say it right.
I know.
We're playing with that anti-hero and wide only and the wreckage.
Wide only and the wreckage.
So that's all this Saturday night. Come hang out with us and let's have a great time. All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, I want to thank my man Rich for bringing us all the way from Canada.
Oh.
Ketchup chips and Timbits.
That's right. Rich will occur.
Dude, Rich, love you, man. We got to hang for a while. We got to chat. And
what an awesome dude. Chips.
Dude, brought us down
so
ketchup
good.
Chips and Timbits to the show Sunday.
And
love you, man. Thanks.
I had 5 Timbits before the show, 3 Timbits after.
Nice.
That's all I have to
oh,
say.
Dude, there were people straight up like
crushing those
Timbits. I'd roll over and Kathy'd be like, by the way, and she had like a list of people who were like, you've got Timbits?
Yeah.
You know, and people were like, can I get in on those?
No.
And so, Kathy Cooper, our merch girl, was sharing the Timbits, which was rad.
I sold 4 of them for $60. It was great.
Nice. Profit.
Oh, no, dude, these already get down here.
Those were clutch. And Rich, it was awesome to talk to him. His favorite Bruiser Brody song is Die by the Whipping, one of
nice.
Our new songs.
Ooh,
so
cool.
That was pretty damn cool. It was awesome getting to see him there. Awesome getting to see everybody over at Studio 7.
Thanks, everyone, for coming out. We did really well.
And let's do it again this Saturday night. It's going to be a blast. Bruiser Brody at Jazz Bones.
I never went to college.
We're going to be selling that raw marijuana. Stay positive.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.